Welcome to Relational Skills in Real Life, a Thrive Today podcast where we share everyday stories of encouragement and transformation from people using relational skills in their lives. Spend time with us and be inspired by real-life examples of how we use relational skills to strengthen and repair our relational connections. We're so glad you're here.
Hello, friends. Chris Corsi here, president of Thrive Today, and I want to welcome you to the Relational Skills in Real Life podcast. Friends, we have an important topic today, and the important topic is how to sustain joy over time, and why isn't joy sustainable over time? What are some key ingredients to help us keep the flames of joy alive? Friends, this is a common question I hear from a lot of people who've started down the road of practicing relational skills. They've been growing and learning and practicing relational skills. And one of the things they notice is that it's not too hard to start joy, but the challenge is, how do we keep the joy flames alive? What do we have to do to keep joy going? Because let's face it, life happens. Pain is loud. Problems are big. Life is busy. So what can we do? What are some simple practices or some habits that we can develop to keep joy going and growing? Friends, I can remember when Jen and I were dating. We were both so excited about the relationship and we just couldn't wait to get married. And the day came and our wedding was full of joy. I can still remember it clearly. Even when part of our wedding cake crashed to the floor, it didn't quench the flames of joy. We still were glad to be together, and it was so special to share that with our people. And I can remember just learning to live life together and adjust to the new rhythm of a marriage and what all that looks like. But over time, what happens is the newness wore off, and then we had to learn how to communicate, how to connect in joy and peace, how to live life together and navigate the strains and the pains and all of those things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And friends, the same might be true with friendships and with other relationships in our lives. Joy is really not too hard to start, but we actually have to do something to keep joy alive. And that's what we're looking at today. You see, what happens is there's a neurochemical called dopamine. And dopamine is known as a reward hormone. And dopamine is what's released to something new. So when you get that new gadget or that new toy or that new book, dopamine is released. And dopamine feels good. It's often called the reward chemical. And so it just feels good. But eventually that newness wears off. And then we are susceptible, vulnerable to want the next new thing. And so part of keeping joy alive means that we learn to find joy and peace in our relationships, that we actually start doing some simple practices so that we can grow some more joy. And we don't have to live on the whims of dopamine and just trying to find the next new thing, because friends, that will wear you out. That is a good recipe for losing your joy. If you just are trained to just have to keep doing something to find the next new thing, eventually the dopamine does wear out. And that's a very costly and expensive way to live. So there are some practical relational skills that you can insert into the equation so that you can keep joy going and growing. One of the things that's really helpful to understand is fatigue makes it hard to grow joy. So when you are tired, when you are exhausted, if you're not getting your sleep, it is going to be hard to grow joy that day. In fact, just one bad night of sleep, I heard, takes about 4 good nights of sleep to be able to catch up. So you can imagine a tired brain is not a good trainable brain to run on joy and to grow joy. So the secret behind joy is actually quieting and resting. And so I often tell people, if you want to increase your joy, spend more time resting, quieting, and calming. Because what that's going to do is that's going to charge your battery for more joy. So spend time quieting with people. Set a timer for 30, 60, 90 seconds. Take time to just very actively rest and quiet. I just led a group through this morning, and I set a timer for 3 minutes. And I said, okay, now we're going to quiet. And then we're going to notice how quieting feels. And many people felt rejuvenated just after a little bit of quieting. We don't need to give our permission for others to quiet, but sometimes we need to give ourselves permission and just say, you know what? Quieting is actually one of the most productive things you can do, because what it does is it refreshes you. It refreshes and recharges your capacity so that you can grow more joy and you can handle more hard stuff while you still stay relational. So insert some quieting into your life and watch what happens when you start to grow joy. The other thing that's helpful is stories, storytelling. You know what? One of the ways we spread joy is by sharing our joyful moments with other people. So at the end of the day, make it a practice of sharing some stories or some highlights from your day, including body sensations, how you feel in your body while you reflect on that joyful moment. You live in your face and your voice, and you live in your body. And so remembering and sharing joy actually helps train our brain to predict and expect and anticipate more joy around the corner. So if you want to help train your brain to pause and notice, to stop and smell the roses, go ahead and share those stories. And that's one of the best ways that you can start spreading joy in your environment, just taking a few minutes, whether it's at the dinner table or before the day runs out. Share some stories. Keep it simple. Keep it fun. Watch what happens on everybody's faces as you start to share some joy stories. You will see smiles and laughter as energy kind of starts to come back. So the other thing that we can do to kind of sustain our joy is to practice appreciation. Appreciation is just simply remembering joy. So appreciation is reflecting on those joyful moments from our day or our week, our month, or our year, and just remembering those joyful moments, feeling those joyful moments. So feel that joy. Notice how it feels as you reflect on these practices. And you know what? You can expect your brain's probably going to get distracted. Your brain's probably going to want to do whatever it's trained to do. If it's used to looking for problems, your brain's going to want to scan for problems. But don't give up. Actually, the resistance is a sign that something good is happening when you're trying to practice appreciation. So stay with it. Set a timer. Give yourself some time to just reflect on the good stuff. And then there's a few other things that we can do. So one of the other steps that we can do is just actually finding other people who value joy. This could be a small group. This could be some friends, coworkers. It's just taking some time to actually connect with other people and hear about their joyful moments and share that joy. You see, a lot of joy is actually nonverbal. So when you're practicing with other people, it's good to see it on their face. It's good to hear it in their voice. It's good to see it in their body language. Your brain will feel that and reflect some of that back to the person that you're interacting with. So I have a friend who has taken it upon himself to practice some joy in the workplace. And so he is going through some of our resources, and he's practicing these exercises with colleagues, and he's noticing how that really makes a difference in his day, and it actually helps him be a little more productive, a little more focused, and a little more energized. So interacting with other people is always a great way to sustain joy. It's a reminder that you're not alone. And then the other ingredient here would be just to remove the obstacles that hinder or restrict your joy. In other words, sometimes there's rocks in our shoes. Sometimes there's reasons why it's hard to hold on to joy. Sometimes our pain is leaking out and we're just kind of bleeding out with some unprocessed pain. So it's always good to get some help from trusted resources, trusted counselors who can help us get those rocks out of our shoe, because it is hard to run sometimes when we've got those painful rocks that are causing us to limp in some way. And so unresolved, unprocessed pain certainly can make it hard to grow more joy. And we often feel like we can grow a little bit of joy, but we hit our head on the ceiling and we get stuck. And that's where dealing with some of those unresolved issues can really go a long way. Those are often areas where our joy stopped growing for whatever reason. So very practical. So you can keep these things in mind. You can rest, you can share stories, you can practice appreciation, you can connect with other people, you can get some healing to remove obstacles. And of course, we always want to interact with the living God, what we call the Emmanuel lifestyle. to continue to notice, what is Jesus doing while we grow some joy? What is Jesus doing while we practice resting and so forth? Part of living an Emmanuel lifestyle means we interact with the living God, and we discover we have a God who's glad to be with his people. And so we start living with God's peace, and that actually makes us want to share our joy with other people. That is some good joy to share right there. So as we think about walking this out, just the main thing here is that you take a little bit of time for practice. However, you can carve out a few minutes in your day. It can be 3 to 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be super long. This is where resources are really helpful for some useful exercises that you can practice, as well as developing a language that helps you be able to cast the vision to other people about joy. So I wrote the Joy Switch as a way to help people really find some practical ways to sustain and grow some joy. We have 19 practical exercises in that book, and that just helps you stay in your relational sweet spot where joy lives. And my friend Marcus Warner and I wrote the 4 Habits of Joy-Filled People book, and that's another great book with exercises that gives you the practices so that you can continue to develop the habits for joy and you can gain some momentum to keep the flames of joy alive.
Thank you for listening. Check the description of this episode for specific resources and visit us at thrivetoday.org anytime. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and share it with friends. We look forward to seeing you next time.